An American bank may be saying toodaloo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. J.P. Morgan Chase is reportedly threatening to withdraw from the U.K. According to some reports out today, the investment bank says it could abandon its business in London. Furious, apparently, about new British taxes targeting investment banks, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
J.P. Morgan is reportedly on the brink of scrapping plans for a new $2 billion headquarters in London. Press reports say the bank is alarmed by the level of banker bashing in Britain and that it's concerned about a string of new taxes, especially those targeting banks and bankers' pay. No one at J.P. Morgan was available to comment, but Stuart Fraser, an official representative for London's financial centre, says he's taking the threat seriously.
I think you can certainly take it. There's a shot across the bows. We need to be aware when we impose any form of tax or change a tax that London sits in a global competitive position.
He points out that planned bank taxes in the US and continental Europe have either been scrapped or postponed. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And about 30 miles southwest of London, it's the aviation industry's biggest gathering, the Farnborough Air Show. That's where Emirates Airlines today announced it's going to buy 30 new aircraft from Boeing. That's a deal that could be worth $9 billion. Now, Boeing's already making news over there after landing its new Dreamliner for the first time outside the United States. The BBC's Theo Leggett is with us from Farnborough with the latest. Hi, Theo.
Hi there.
So Boeing landed this new 787 Dreamliner at the show. Anything significant about its plan for the industry?
Yeah, well, Boeing landed this aircraft a day early, a day ahead of the start of the show, trying to steal the headlines, I think. And this is a very significant aircraft for Boeing. It's built almost entirely of what's basically plastic. It's carbon composites. And what that means is that the aircraft is much lighter than other aircraft, which means it uses less fuel. Now, I spoke to James Albaugh, who's chief executive of Boeing Commercial Airplanes, and he told me this airplane will change the industry.
Well, I tell you, I think this is going to be the most efficient airplane ever built. This is going to be an airplane that can fly further. This is an airplane that's going to provide, you know, much more comfort for the passengers. This is an airplane that I think will change the world.
Theo, what is Farnborough? Why is Farnborough so important?
Well, Farnborough is a very unusual event. This is a tremendous arms and aircraft fair where thousands of exhibitors come along to show their latest product and try to gain customers.
How's the industry feeling after the downturn of the past couple of years? I mean, these are pretty expensive planes. Do sales there indicate anything about a recovery?
Well, it's a tale of two industries, really. On the commercial side, the passenger planes, people are looking a lot more confident than they did a year ago at the Paris Air Show. This year, we're being told to expect quite a few orders. But on the other side, on the defense side, people are being a lot more cautious. They know that governments have less money than they used to have. They know that the good years of ever-increasing defense spending are probably over, and they're going to have to tighten their belts. It's going to be harder to sell military hardware.
The BBC's Theo Leggett joining us from Farnborough. Theo, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are a little higher at the moment, about 0.5%, despite Moody's downgrading Ireland's debt rating. Asian shares closed mostly lower today. Wall Street Friday, some disappointing bank earnings reports sent stocks tumbling. The Dow gave back 261 points to end the week at 10,097. And for the week, blue chips were off about 1%. Same for the S&P.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
We thought we'd test our knowledge of international affairs once again, as we do every so often. And we're glad to bring in Stefan Richter with this morning's Marketplace Globalist Quiz. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am so ready. Let's do it.
Which group of African countries grew the most in terms of its economy last year? Is it A, the oil exporters, countries such as Nigeria. B, the fragile states, think Congo, for example. Mm-hmm. C, middle-income countries, like the World Cup host South Africa. Or D, low-income countries, Zambia, Uganda, and countries like that.
I'm going to have to say the oil exporters.
That would be the likely answer. But, you know, they only grew by 3.8%. While that's impressive in a global context, because the rest of the world certainly didn't grow anywhere near as fast, it wasn't the fastest in Africa last year.
So, all right, I'm obviously not even getting the parting gift on this game show, Stefan. So I'm going to guess the least among them, including the impoverished nations that you mentioned.
And you've got it. It is really fascinating that Mozambique, Zambia, and so on grew by almost 5% last year, and it wasn't a fluke. That is due to things like, you know, a little bit of governance, reduction of wasteful spending, improvements in education and health systems, and trade policy reform. So it shows that sub-Saharan Africa's economies can actually be more resilient in terms of economic growth than the developed countries.
Well, we'll see if that trickles down to the people there of some of those impoverished nations of Africa.
That's the key question.
That it truly is. Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of The Globalist. To learn more about the global economy, politics, and culture, visit theglobalist.com. And finally, if you ever walk into a Las Vegas resort, take a whiff. Chances are you'll smell coconuts or lemon ginger, maybe cucumber melon. Casinos buy and spritz those scents to keep people inside, spending money and gambling. The Palms Hotel resisted this trend for the longest time, but gave in a few months ago, and they chose teakwood. The guests there didn't like it. People blogged about it and sent in bad reviews. So the Palms quickly put an end to teakwood, making the property odor-free once again. Except for the tobacco, gin, and cheap perfume wafting over from the woman sitting next to you at the slots. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Catch us online at marketplace.org and follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis, MMR, in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.